We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everyone. It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Wake that ass up.
Early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Lauren LaRosa is our guest host. And we got a special guest in the building.
Yes, indeed.
Miss former Ohio State Senator Nina Turner. Welcome.
It's good to be home.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
How you feeling?
You look amazing, man.
Thank you. Can I get up?
Yes, please do.
I just want to let you know, Charlamagne threw shots at everybody because of you.
He did.
One of the producers came back and was like, you know, Nina Turner's here and she's looking amazing.
Yeah.
And Charlamagne was like, well, that's because she's in the gym and she eats well.
That wasn't a shot at nobody.
Listen, let me give a shout out to my trainer, Derek Doddell from DDT. Derek Doddell training in Cleveland, Ohio. The
there you go.
Helping me hold it together.
Absolutely.
Baby, it is.
Lauren, is it all right?
Is it
all right?
What made you want to go down that path of, you know, getting right physically?
Help, because we need it.
Yeah.
You know, you talk a lot about mental health, and it all goes together. Mental health, physical health, the endorphins you get. And I ain't want to hurt nobody, Charlamagne. So I got to get in there. My trainer is also a boxer, too, so I get on the bag a lot, too, DJ. And I picture all kinds of faces.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way to do it.
Ain't trying to hurt nobody in real
life.
Yeah,
you get aggression out.
Yeah.
Take the energy out on
there. Just a little bit.
How often do you train? How often do you work out? Every day?
Almost every day, yeah.
And has your eating changed?
70% of it is what you eat, and he tells me that all the time. Now, I had gotten smaller than what I am now, and he was a little concerned about it, so he did tell me to go eat some fried fish and french fries. Get that back up, because I had lost my sister girl.
Okay.
You know,
and
you can lose too much.
But
he was joking. I mean, he was just saying, hey, you're getting a little too small. So he's a good trainer. It's not just about, it's about how you feel. He knows each and every one of his clients in a deep way.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
He knows when you're not feeling right. He knows when something is on every single client, not just me. And wow. I think that's a special gift. He is a gifted man. I'm going to have to bring him the next time I come.
Absolutely.
People have bonds with trainers that a lot of people don't see because they have that time. And they're there for an hour or 2 hours. And they're talking not just about training, but about life as well.
Because it's holistic.
Exactly.
Everybody. So I know everybody's going to be eating, you know, from Thanksgiving through New Year's. But we got to keep it together. And this is for everybody, but especially black people, because we go through so much.
Correct.
And your health is ultimately your wealth. Mm-hmm. And it is spiritual, it is physical, it's mental, it's all of that stuff. But working out, it's not just about weight loss or toning. It's psychological, too. It keeps you sharp.
Well, I'm glad because, you know, next year is a presidential election year.
Ooh,
and boy, it's going to be a lot of stress on everybody.
Yeah, you said Biden shouldn't win, Char. I mean, shouldn't run.
Shouldn't run.
He ain't going to win. But anyway, you said he shouldn't run.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I think he shouldn't run, because he's not going to win.
No, he's not going to win.
You know?
So what does that mean?
I wish he would just run in the primary. Can we just start with the primary? At least run in the primary.
Break that down. Explain.
Because we have a primary that the DNC is refusing to acknowledge, mm-hmm. because both parties, when you have an incumbent, they pretend like competitors don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Primaries are for us to have a robust debate about ideas. And if, in fact, the incumbent is the strongest candidate, then that will come out in the wash, too. It's mm-hmm. kind of like training.
Absolutely.
Why not? You got Marianne Williamson running as a Democrat. You got Cenk Uygur running mm-hmm. as a Democrat. You got Dr. Cornel West running as an independent. I think Dr. Cornel West and also Robert Kennedy Jr. should be on both stages. But minimally, they should be on the Democratic stage. And then you got Congressman Dean Phillips, who has jumped in the race running as a Democrat. If your ideas are all that, then debate them out in the primary so that things can come out in the wash so that you're ready for the main event. But the Democrats have decided they don't want to do that. And so now they have anointed Biden as the heir apparent. Just because you the incumbent don't mean you entitled mm-hmm. to a second term. And that's him or anybody else. That goes for me mm-hmm. or any other politician. You got to earn the vote each and every time.
Well, what would you say to people who say none of those people you named have a chance in hell to win?
Well, they won't have a chance in hell to win if people don't know that they're running.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the media is very important. And that's what I love so much about the Breakfast Club, because you guys give audience to everybody, Republican, right. Democrat, Libertarian, no party, rock and roll, you know, R&B, whatever you, however you rolling, because people need to know those other people are running. And if people want to know why governors are not running right now, you know, like the governor of California who just debated
DeSantis
in Florida, well, he not running because he need to play the game so he can be ready for 2028. If he runs or any of these governors run, they don't have the courage to buck the system. To say that we are in peril. 17 polls have shown President Biden losing. Now, I get it. Polls are snapshots in time. But this is turning into a Polaroid picture. I know I'm dating myself now. But this snapshot is becoming more than a snapshot. It's becoming a very clear picture. Most Americans do not want to see a rematch between President Joe Biden mm-hmm. and former President Donald J. Trump. Those
confident.
Are the facts.
Yeah.
That's scary, though. You know, first of all, I just want to say Polaroids are back in. My daughter asked for
okay,
Christmas.
Good.
Just
okay, good. Okay. So I'm all right.
That's it's back a vibe in. Now.
It's a vibe.
It's a vibe
okay.
now.
Oh, it's a vibe.
But okay, I was, you know, that's very scary. When you have everybody, politicians, regular people saying that they don't have faith in Joe Biden, what does that mean? Are people going to go out, or are we just going to give this to Donald Trump?
It's not given, though, DJ. It's not. It's a competition. So I need people to understand this. Politicians are not owed anything. I need to come and ask you for your vote. I need to lay down what I did for you. You know, as Miss Jackson asked in one of her songs, what have you done for me lately? Mm-hmm. You don't owe me as the politician. I owe you.
Mm-hmm.
And to think that President Biden is the best or the only thing that we have, he ain't the savior. You know, and I would say this about any candidate. Everybody knows I rocked with Senator Bernard Sanders, who is, you know, supporting Joe Biden. For me, it's what are you doing for my people? What are you doing for the people in the hood where mm-hmm. they misunderstood? What are you doing for working class people of all backgrounds in this country? You let the shadow president, you know, hijack your Build Back Better. We ain't built back nothing better. Mm-hmm. Then you got billions of dollars to send over to war. Janet Yellen, the secretary, the Treasury secretary, when she was asked, can we afford, we Americans, afford two wars? She said, oh, yeah, we can afford it. So if we can afford two wars, then we could afford to keep the enhanced child tax credit.
Okay.
If we can afford two wars, then why don't y'all go ahead and cancel all student debt and then put a mechanism in place so that kind of debt doesn't happen to college students again? Mm-hmm. If we can afford two wars, then, baby, we can afford universal health care. If we can afford two wars, then, damn it, black people want their reparations.
That's right.
That's all I'm saying. Hey, charity starts at home and spreads abroad. I'm not saying don't help any of our allies, but we got people dying in the streets of America right now for the lack of resources, but they got the pure unadulterated gall to say we ain't got money for domestic issues. What about domestic tranquility? That's part of it, too. Mm-hmm. So people fed up, DJ. They just, all they gonna say, I don't think people are going, I know there's a poll that says that about 22% of black people are gonna go over to Trump. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. But I think most people are just not gonna vote.
Yeah, I say, okay.
Question for you.
Do you feel like, though, because of the people that you mentioned, like the Cornel West's and other people that are running on that side, they don't have, the platform is not there. And as sad as it is, people don't, a lot of stuff you're talking about, people go and vote just because of who they're hearing about on social or who has the biggest campaign. So what's the real, like, what do they do? How do they even get next to, Biden has the platform. He's the president right now.
Well, the incumbent is always going to have the upper hand. That's the system. But we live in a time where, baby, you can Google everything. I mean, people got to study to show themselves approved, but media is a powerful force. And you all know that because you hold a modicum of power. To the extent that mainstream media continues to lock out these people, Lauren, then you're right. Most people may never hear them. I think Dr. Cornel West has somewhat of an advantage because he's an internationally known philosopher, you know, international known intellectual. So a lot of people, cross generations, definitely know Dr. Cornel West. Now, they might not get to know that he's running for president, but he's running. And the same for all the other people. I think Congressman Phillips may have an advantage because he is a congressman. He got that fancy title right now. But the mainstream media is not supposed to be calling these politicians. They're supposed to open up the airways for everybody and let the games begin. Let's compete for this stuff. So it is shameful that that is not happening.
I think, you know, what's interesting to me, Senator Turner, is people are using logic for illogical times, right? Because even when you bring up the polls, people will say, well, you know, the polls aren't always accurate. It's not even just the polling. He's polling terribly against a man who has 91 criminal charges, 4 indictments, 2 impeachments. It shouldn't be close.
It shouldn't be close.
A man who said he wants to be a dictator.
Right, it shouldn't
like,
be
it shouldn't close. Be close. That's why people are like, maybe you need to step aside. That's why David Axelrod is saying, hey, maybe you need to step aside. We can't risk it.
And not be selfish. I think for both of these men, they can run, right? We know age is a factor, but I think age is connected to economics, how people are feeling about their personal economies. Mm-hmm. I know that the system, you look at the stats and they'll say, oh, the economy is doing better, but is it doing better for Big Mama? Is it doing better for Big Daddy? Mm-hmm. Are they feeling it? Because the economy, the measures that we use to say that our economy is healthy is based already on a rigged system. In other words, the system leans toward those who have the greatest wealth. But if Big Mama and Big Papa can't afford the eggs or the gas or everything has gone up, then damn what the numbers say on paper, we need to know what is happening for them in their real lives. Now, the point about the polling, again, snapshots, we get it. But unless Democrats make some real deep-seated changes, all them polls can't be wrong. I mean, it's like dropping breadcrumbs. It's telling us something. And so both of those men can run, right? They are allowed to run. I won't say that they shouldn't have the ability to run, but I think it's selfish that they are running. In other words, that's the best we can do in this country is to have a rematch between two presidents that most Americans do not want. And even Democrats, if you look at President Biden, most Democrats do not want Joseph R. Biden as the candidate. So he's not the only one. He's the only one that the system is elevating in such a way that it's locking out other people who would be logical choices to run. And then you got a few courageous people who have been in this studio who I just named who are out there and saying, damn that, I'm running anyway.
Who would you like to see?
Well, me, actually, but I put that to the side. You know, ain't nobody better. But I'm not running right now. I love Dr. Cornel West. I think he got the moral courage and the moral fire right now. And then my other choice, if I could vote for two people, for the people that are running right now, it'd be Marianne Williamson.
Absolutely.
Those two are out there doing the daggone thing. And Dr. West has definitely made the requisite sacrifices to be running in this race. But Lauren's point is well taken. You know, he won't get, he, well, I won't say he won't get the oxygen. It's just going to be harder.
I think
get.
It's positioning.
Yeah.
That matters.
I was going to ask you, does it bother you, like what Lauren said, where people are so stuck in a way of, I'm born Democrat, I vote Democrat. I'm born Republican, I'm a vote Republican. I'm not voting independent because that's the way that I've been doing it. My parents been doing it. My grandparents been doing it. And it's kind of like we're stuck in that zone. I know a lot of people that just go to the thing, be like, Democrat, 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 Democrat. Don't even know who they voting for. Just Democrat all the way down the board. Or
especially judges. Judges really get a free pass. And they're the main ones we need to check out because they got the ability to keep you out free or lock you up. No, it does bother me. But when you know better, you should do better. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a scripture in the Christian Bible where Paul said, you know, when I was a child, I did childish things.
Right.
It's time for us to grow up and do the research. We have more technology at our disposal than any other generation. So it really is no excuse. I used to do that. Mama say vote for so-and-so and so, I'm a vote. But then I matured and I started to do the research. And now it's not that hard. So, yes, DJ, it does bother me that people are just going, just flapping in the wind instead of doing the study and then asking these politicians, really, what have you done? Not that you like them, not that you want to have a beer with them, not that you would club with them, because I like a lot of people, but what have you done with the power that you have to change the conditions for the people who suffer the most in this country? If you haven't done anything, then why am I voting for you? And the people say the lesser of the two evils. Well, you know what? Sometimes people just going to throw up their hands and say, damn it, I'm just going to vote for straight up evil. Because I already know lesser two evil ain't getting me nothing. So I might as well go all the way and just go for evil.
Do you think Palestine and Israel is going to have a real impact on President Biden? Because I hear a lot of people in Michigan, especially Muslim Americans in Michigan, say they not rocking with him. They not voting for him. They not showing up.
Yeah. Like, it will. And I don't think people are going to change their minds. Now, if we haggling over Medicare for all and you don't do it, then I may just go ahead and vote for you anyway and keep fighting you to try to mm-hmm. get it. But now we're talking about the slaughter of innocent people mm-hmm. in Gaza. Let's talk about the slaughter of Palestinian people in the West Bank. That's not even talked about a lot. But you got 18,000 people dead. Mm-hmm. You got about 42,000 or so people maimed or injured. You got 60% of the Gaza has been just blown up. So imagine being a son or a daughter or a person from Gaza. Imagine being a Palestinian. And if you live, what do you have? You know, I saw a picture of a she probably was 5 or 6 years old, a Palestinian young girl. She's shaking like a leaf. Mm. Traumatized. That's trauma. Mm-hmm. And if you have children or you know somebody who have children, imagine that that was your children. Oh, yeah. The Middle East is going to be blood is on the hands of the United States of America. There's a law called the Leahy Law. And in that law was put in place in 1996. The law says that we in America should not be giving funds to military operators who we know are violating human rights. Mm. Just slaughtering innocent people to get at Hamas, I think, is a violation of human rights. You got Netanyahu in 2015 said that under his watch, there would never be a Palestinian state. So now, how, as a Palestinian, then what am I going to do with that? Mm-hmm. If we take Hamas, yeah, evil, vile, what they did, immoral and illegal under international law. Let's deal with that. But 18,000 Palestinians dead, 42 or so thousand maimed and injured. Their entire world is in rubble. If we don't have a ceasefire, how are we ever going to get to peace? And then the mental impact on the people who survive, on what just happened to them. That girl shaking, that baby shaking, is many like her. What is she going to think growing up? You think she's going to be in love with the system? No, she's not. Mm-hmm. And so to keep Israelis safe, Palestinians got to have self-determination. Mm. To keep Palestinians safe, Israelis got to have self-determination, but they do. They control the water, the electricity. So we're not looking at this in a way that's very holistic. The UN has said this, you know, don't do this. Many of the human rights organizations across the world said, don't do this. All I want to know is how many people got to die before we realize that you can't war your way to peace.
Mm. Yeah, you know, Senator Bernie Sanders was on this weekend, and he said that we have to stop giving Israel a blank check.
Without conditions.
We have to stop giving them a blank check so they can stop killing innocent, you know, civilians and children. And I feel like, man, why aren't people talking about that more? Like that point, because everybody was focused on him saying we can't have a permanent ceasefire with people who want permanent war. You think it's justified, the flack he's getting, the backlash he's getting for that?
Some of this stuff is incongruent. Now, I'm with the senator on don't just give Israel or any other country just a blank check. If we paying for, you know, my mama say, I paid for this. You live in my house. I pay everything. So you going to do what I say do. Mm-hmm. You know, the same thing applies here. If America took a moral position on this to say, you know what? I get it. What Hamas did was rotten, evil, wicked. Hey, go after Hamas surgically. But there comes a point where there are too many bodies laying in wait. How many more bodies? I just want to know, how many more bodies is it going to take? So although I appreciate Senator Bernard Sanders saying, don't just give Israel a blank check. But at the same time, the senator doesn't want a permanent ceasefire. So how do we get to permanent peace? At some point, people got to stop the shooting and the bombing. Mm-hmm. And most of those bombs are coming from Israel. They in our name. Mm-hmm. Those bombs are made over here. It's our money. So we are culpable for the deaths of the Palestinians. And you know what? It's not only going to impact you and you and you. I mean, it's going to impact our children, our children's children. Mm. See, now you're messing with my stuff now. Mm. And all the money that we send over there, whether it's over there or in the Ukraine, is less money that we have to have universal health care, canceling student debt, you know, name the things that we need. Water systems. Hell, Flint, Michigan still got dirty water. The Democratic Secretary, Attorney General in Michigan dropped the case. So now you got people who live in Flint who just got to live with it. And I can go on and on and on. What are we going to do on the domestic side of the ledger? And Israel certainly is our ally. Israel has a right to exist. Israel has a right to protect itself. And what about the Palestinians? Because I learned in math, you know, what you do on one side, you got to do on the other.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So what about the Palestinians? And what about the innocent Palestinians? Over 50% of those people are kids. It's a very young community. They didn't vote for Hamas. So at what point, how many bodies? I just want to know how many bodies. So Shar, look, I get it, but see, you got to have a ceasefire. I don't know how you get to peace without a ceasefire. Mm-hmm. And then how do we get to a permanent peace where Palestinians have self-determination? Mm-hmm. I want our viewers and listeners to know they don't control electricity. They don't control food. They don't control water. They don't control all of that. So how can you control your livelihood when you can't control the basics? Maslow's hierarchy of need is in play here. Mm-hmm. And so we got to put ourselves in that place. Remember Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., not the only one, but he is the symbol for it. As long as he was talking about civil rights for black people, it was all good. But when the Reverend Doctor started talking about the Vietnam War, they were like, oh, hold on, brother. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hold on.
Yeah.
Now, you done got out your depths. Now, we ain't going to allow you to talk about that. Mm-hmm. That's the same.
That's when he became a communist.
That's it. Yeah. That's the same thing happening right now.
Yeah.
We got to stand up for humanity because that, but by the grace of God, that could be any of us. So no indiscriminate killing of Israelis. No indiscriminate killing of Palestinians. And when you hear a baby cry, until you look at that baby, you don't know what their race or ethnicity is. All you know is that you're hearing a baby cry.
That's real. Man.
Woo.
Now, you have a new worker power organization called We Are Somebody.
I brought some mugs.
Where the mugs were in here. I don't know what happened.
You know what's so crazy? Sim came in here with like four of them, but never put them down. Well.
We are somebody. Yes, we are.
Workers' rights should be codified into legislation. Strike without fear. Rebuild the middle class.
Absolutely. Unions do matter.
One job should be enough, too.
One job should be enough. People working. I remember when I was growing up, an extra job was an extra job.
Absolutely.
But now an extra job is mandatory because of the way the economy is rocking. You know, CNN did a poll and they basically asked people, you know, how you feeling about the economy. In 2020, at the height of COVID, people, you know, were saying, oh, you know, I'm feeling pretty good. 2023, they're not feeling good.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm.
And you know why they're not feeling good? Despite what the economic indicators say, they're not feeling good because those safety net measures that we did during COVID.
Taken away.
They're gone.
Mm-hmm.
So people are not feeling good about the economy right now. Working class people, and I mean all working class people from all strata, some people may be in the six-figure range and some people may be, you know, just barely making it. But baby, we all working class unless you got a sugar mama or sugar daddy or sugar somebody. And I don't mind having that, you know, someday. Let me just put that out there. But I'm a working woman and I'm blessed. But working class people got to come together. And that's what We Are Somebody is about. It is a capacity building organization for working class people, whether they're unionized or not, because people deserve to live a good life. And you shouldn't have to be ultra wealthy to live a good life.
Are you pushing to change things like the 40-hour work week?
40-hour work week, yeah. Hey, Fridays off. Working with a group, One Fair Wage, ran by an extraordinary young woman. First name is Saru. I hope to get her on the Breakfast Club. But her organization is... Next year, there'll be 13 states that they target. Five of those states will have ballot initiatives. The others of the states will have legislative initiatives. And that is to do away with the sub-minimum wage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't think people understand the history of the sub-minimum wage. It's really to mess over black women.
Mm-hmm. Break it down.
Where that industry said, black women, they don't deserve to be paid. Let them get tips. So now you got to get your money based on the largesse of somebody that's coming into the restaurant. And one thing that Saru said, what they meant for evil for black women now reverberates to everybody, because now everybody in that industry, sub-minimum wage, the average wage is about $2 and some change.
Mm-hmm.
You may live in a state where it might be a little higher, but every time we go to a restaurant, those people who are serving us our meals are depending on us to give them a tip to supplement their wages, and that should not be. So that's one example of a project that somebody's going to work on the legislative side, because if you change the legislation, helping unions is a beautiful thing. It only helps those members, and that's good. If we want to enlarge that territory, then we got to do ballot initiatives, because laws do matter, and put laws in place that do away with the sub minimum wage. Can you imagine somebody as hard as them people work only making $2 and some change?
That's right. That's crazy.
You know, and I cannot believe we still talking about this in the 21st century. Those are the kinds of things that, you know, President Joseph R. Biden and this Congress could be doing when they had the opportunity to increase the federal minimum wage from $7.25. They decided not to. You remember, they did a hard pass and they blamed it on the parliamentarian. They could have done that. That's when the Democrats controlled both chambers. Mm. And they didn't do that. The PRO Act didn't do that. George Floyd didn't do that. So, yeah.
I was going to say, so you talked about the safety net, right? And with the safety net during COVID, there was, I mean, of course, they were giving money. They were helping people out with their, whether it was car loan or mortgage or whatever it may
be.
PPP loans. Mm-hmm. What will help people now, right? Because you look at people losing their jobs. I was telling Charlamagne earlier, one of the gaming companies just had to get rid of 1,100 people. Spotify just had to get rid of people. So many people are losing their jobs. Interest rates are at an all-time high. People can't buy houses or automobiles. When you look at food costs are through the roof. If you ever look at a price of eggs or some orange juice you're just normal things that people would need to survive, as expensive as ish, what will people have to survive? You already said that people are not getting paid in a 40-hour work week. So what can be done? And is that the reason why people are looking for Trump and not Biden? Because they feel like Trump will send out some more checks with his name on it or whatever it may be. Is that some of that reason?
I'm going to be flipped for a minute. Yes. Poor people don't need eggs. They don't get to eat eggs. You know, I mean, that's basically what this is coming down to. Eggs cost more than chicken wings.
Yeah.
Material conditions of people have to change. The motive. People vote when they hopeful. Mm-hmm. And they ain't got nothing to hope for. They not going to go out and vote. Mm-hmm. What I believe, see, this is not about Trump. And so this Trump derangement syndrome is just blowing my mind. This is more about who has the power right now and what they're going to do about it. Yeah, you're going to keep bringing up Trump, but Trump ain't been in office for the last almost 4 years. Mm-hmm. So it really is up to this administration and this Congress, Democrats and Republicans. We ain't gonna let them Republicans off the hook, but damn, they done showed themselves to be just outright, just totally lost their minds. Mm-hmm. But if we put them in the parking lot, what substantive things are Democrats doing other than blaming Trump and telling people, oh my God, if you vote for Trump in 2024, it's gonna be the worst thing ever. People living in worse times right now in this particular moment. Dita, you asked me what would be some of the fixes. First of all, this Congress could restore the enhanced child tax credit that lifted millions of children out of poverty. We lifted them out of poverty only to catapult them right back into poverty. What sense does that make? It makes no sense whatsoever. They could pass the PRO Act so that workers can organize without being retaliated against by the man or the woman that runs the company store. They could do those things. They could cancel all student debt right now. Again, the Treasury Secretary said we got enough money for two wars, where there's a war brewing right here in America against everyday working class people. We need a social contract. We need a humanitarian way, a human rights economy. And that's the kind of thing that I do at the New School as a senior fellow. Shout out to Dr. Derek Hamilton. We need a human rights economy. And in that human rights economy, it said that there are some basic things that everybody should have. Healthcare is another one, DJ. Mm-hmm. If everybody had healthcare and it wasn't commodified, and it wasn't tied to a job, people would do all kinds of creative things. Mm-hmm. But they can't, because it's tied to a job, underinsured and uninsured. So those are things, inject that money into the economy domestically and give people the freedom of mind and body and soul and spirit that they need and deserve.
I know you talked about the middle class catching hell, and you talked about hopelessness right now.
Yeah.
A lot of times with me, I feel like when I have the political conversations like this and voting, I have friends right now that are saying they're not going to vote at all because they're in that space that you're talking about. What do you think is like the best thing for people? Like, how do you put that aside? And I mean, I know it logically makes sense. Like, we need to be able to get out, vote, change the world and all that. But the people that you're talking about, it goes over their heads. Like, they don't feel like if I vote, something's going to change. They're just tired of what they're going through right now. What do you say to those people? How do those people get that hope back to feel like if we do this, things will change? Local level, federal levels, like...
Yeah, I get that, Lauren. I'm not one of those politicians that say, you know, you don't have a right. People have a right to feel the way that they feel. But I would say you got to vote mad as hell. You still got to vote. Everybody should vote, but this is especially for Black people. People literally died, and we are so far removed from that generation. We don't teach it enough. You know, DeSantis don't want it taught at all, but that don't stop us from going into our Black churches and doing it anyway. People literally died for it. Now, a lot of people, because Teslin, you know, would say, well, people don't want to hear that they died, but they did. People died. And what she means by that is sometimes that's not enough. And that's what you're saying too, Lauren. You got to be in it to win it. The game going to happen. Is it going to happen to you or through you?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's going to happen to you or through you. It can happen through you by you getting out there to vote. You can have a lot of impact on local elections, probably even more so than the federal level, but all elections matter. There's no such thing as an off-year election. So people mad as hell, I get it, but you still need to go vote. But voting is just one part of the process. You know, when our foreparents were fighting for the vote, they understood how pivotal it was to give Black people voice into who could represent them. That's just one part. We now have to take that to the next level and say, not only do you have to vote, but you got to hold these people accountable. You got to keep the score. And if they not doing what they told you they were going to do, damn, lesser of the two evils.
Right.
Hey, I'm just going to find me another candidate and vote. Because as Big Mama would say, I can show you better than I can tell you. They just got to stop accepting it. So I get the frustration. Voting is just one part of making the change or being the change in your community. You got to be actively involved all the time, because justice is not a destination. It is a journey. Too many people don't want to make a sacrifice. We ain't talking about, you know, being in a Montgomery bus boycott for 381 days. We just asking, Lord, people can you just go to the polls and vote? Mm-hmm. That's all we ask. We ain't got them kind of auction block problems that our ancestors had. So why can't you vote and be mad?
Well, what if I agree with everything you're saying, but what if those people say, you know what, you're right, but I want to vote conservative.
Vote any way they want.
I want to vote independent. Yeah.
Which is that's
vote
happening.
However they want. Because again, I believe politicians need to earn the vote. We have conservative Black people, and I ain't mad at it. You don't put all your eggs in one basket. We got liberal Black people. I'm a little mad at that because I think the Black bourgeoisie or Black moderates are part of the reason that Black people are catching hell. And I'm writing a book about that.
They get on
mine too. They the ones. You know, we talk a lot about the white liberal, but we don't talk about the Black folks that's standing in the way of Black liberation. Why isn't the Black caucus the main people down there saying, where is Black people die at higher rates? Where's the universal health care? What are they doing? Now, I ain't talking about individual Black caucus members. They can bring me the smoke if they want, because I'll bring it back to them. Mm-hmm. But where is that moral conscience? It was a time when the Congressional Black Caucus was the moral consciousness of the Congress. But when you go to their little things, hell, they bought and paid for it too. Sponsored by. So people should be able to vote for who the hell they want to, as long as they vote.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's my job, if I want you to vote for me, is to try to convince you to do that. Mm-hmm. Now, it's a lot harder. What I'm saying is easier said than done, because then big money will come in, right and tank the whole process. Mm-hmm. We get that. But ultimately, I, as a politician or a public servant, have a role to play in that. So vote for whoever they want to vote for. Just go vote.
And you say you're writing a book about?
Oh, about how the Black moderate is the biggest threat to Black liberation.
Damn.
Oh, yeah. More than the white liberal. Because, you know, Minister Malcolm X warned us about the white liberal. Dr. King warned us about the white liberal. But we have done very little study about the impact of Black moderates on Black liberation. I'm coming for them.
Why do you think they are stopping progress so much?
Because they stand in the way. Black faces in high places, they ain't standing up for nothing. And they give people shields.
Mm-hmm.
To not do enough for Black people.
Mm-hmm.
If you ain't standing up for your own people.
Just okay with being the one.
That's, you preaching.
No, you preaching.
They preaching.
Mm-hmm.
They just so giddy about being in the damn room, they forgot why they in there. Titles are good, but purpose is better.
Mm-hmm.
We need purpose-driven people in those rooms, especially Black, because when, and the onus is not just on Black people, but when we move, foundations shake. The world shakes and shapes. It changes. Civil rights movement, just one of many examples of how when we move in a way that has an eye towards justice in all of its forms, everybody gets it. We got to move, especially us. Not only us, but especially us. And if you see Black people languishing, if you see a legal system that sees only Black people, because justice over there that y'all got over there on that, she ain't blind. She see us all the damn time. when you have a system that barrels down on one group of people disproportionately than anybody else, somebody got to say, this ain't right. And if the Congressional Black Caucus won't say, this ain't right, why didn't you pass the George Floyd Policing Act? This ain't right. Mm. Why didn't the John Lewis voting rights law pass? Or why didn't you, why weren't y'all on table? See, I get on the table, but I want people to think this is a family show. But, you know, why aren't you doing those things? Why you ain't say gas up the jet? Why didn't you stare the shadow president down, Joe Manchin, and say the hell to the no, you're not going to do away with the enhanced child tax credit? I got too many poor people and struggling people in my district. The moral consciousness is lost. And that is what is happening. They try to guilt people into voting for people. I ain't here to guilt you to vote for nobody. Because I tell you what, if they not delivering, they got the power. I got two toddlers in my life. And I have higher expectations of them than we do of these politicians.
Right.
Oh, they didn't have enough of a majority. But that ain't what y'all said when y'all was running in 2020.
That's
you
right.
said give you the majority, you was going to make some things happen. And you didn't. What are you willing to give up? I think a lot of politicians, especially when lives and livelihoods are at stake, you need to run like you only going to get one term. And baby, if I was running for president and I got it, I'll be up in that piece like, hey, they ain't going to put me back in here. But I tell you what, they going to know Nina Turner was here.
And that's all we want somebody to fight.
That's it.
Just because you're a black woman, though, it's different. It's different.
That's it.
They running real lax right now.
They running real lax right now.
And that's all we want somebody to fight. And those same black moderates will be like, ah, yeah, it's Congress. It's Congress. It's Congress. Congress. Well, give Congress hell then.
That's
at least give Congress hell on behalf of the people.
Because
I know one thing, that damn Trump, say what you want. He gonna give his people hell if they don't do his bidding.
Hey, yeah. And he let it be known. I mean, the difference between him is covert and overt.
Mm.
You
That's
know,
right.
these other politicians, they do it covertly. They want to be, they gonna come back at some folks. They gonna seek retribution. Trust me, I've been in the holies of holies. But Trump, make it plain, I'm coming for you. Mm-hmm. So now, the difference between the fox and the wolf. I know how to deal with the wolf because you just told me exactly what you're going to do in lieu of the fox. Yes, is Trump a neo-fascist? Is fascism dangerous? Yeah, it's the difference between knowing that you got 10 hours worth of oxygen and not knowing at all. Maybe
right.
if I know, I might be able to survive.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So we got to deal with neo-fascism, but don't forget neoliberalism, meaning keeping the status quo, breeds neo-fascism. And so my party, the Democrats, have to run like Trump is a clear and present danger.
That's right.
And not put the onus on the voters and not try to. And then don't y'all come in here shaming black people when what's going to go down in 2020 because we done warned you.
That's right.
And don't put it on us because we vote overwhelmingly for Democrats come hell or high water, whether they do anything for us or our children, our children's children. And I don't think that's right either. We need to change that. But don't blame us.
And that's the other thing. We're not telling Biden not to run because he's losing the black vote. He's losing the vote, period.
Oh, everybody.
He's
young
losing
people,
the vote. That's right.
Arab Americans,
Latinos,
everybody.
Asian Americans, yes.
The polls show most Americans do not want to see a rematch between these two presidents.
That's right.
But yet and still, they not doing what we ask. Other leaders would bubble up to the top if they had space to do so. But when you are within the machine, so Lauren, if you were, you know, so Biden said, you decide you want to run.
Mm-hmm.
If you run, then they're going to remember that, see? And then when it comes 2028, they're going to punish you for challenging. So that's why you have people like Newsom and some of these other, you know, governors. And don't get me wrong, they're not the only ones that's qualified to run. I'm just naming them because in the trajectory of things, people really see, oh, if they're a governor or U.S. senator, they should be the one running. If they stepped out there to run right now, then it's going to be retribution against them in 2028.
What 2028? We might not have a democracy.
I know that. Hey, we might not
might
be
not
here.
Might not be no elections.
Hell, the world might not be
Seriously.
Here. That's another reason why we need to go for peace. There is a ripple effect. Those of you who play domino, you understand how when the dominoes fall, they fall. What's happening in the Middle East is happening over here. In other words, none of us are going to escape what is happening in the Middle East or Ukraine. So let's talk about the continent of Africa, what's happening in the Congo. See, we don't talk about that. What's happening in Haiti, all of that has a ripple effect on each and every one of us. So that's why I want peace. Peace ain't soft.
Mm-hmm.
Peace is strong. It take a lot to want to have peace. I want peace so I can have some peace.
Right.
That's right. WeAreSomebody.org.
WeAreSomebody.org,
yeah,
baby.
We appreciate you for joining
Always
us.
Always a pleasure.
I can listen to you talk all day.
Oh, thank you, Lauren. And I am going to go on your website and get some of you so I can, you know,
we'll make sure you get some
fashion.
Stuff.
You have to change your whole wardrobe, huh?
I did. Oh my God, DJ. But it was a good
there family. You go.
Tell you, baby. Can I tell you how much I love y'all?
We love you. Love you.
God. And I feel that and I know that. I got this. Charlamagne, DJ, Lauren. I mean, you create space
mm-hmm.
for black people, But I want to say particularly you create space for black women of all ages and all stages. And I love you for that. And I got to shout out my one of my advisors, Teslin Figaro. Tez, she do it, don't she?
Absolutely.
But I just love y'all so much. I love our people. I love all people. I love black people. And the reason why I want to see people lifted, because I want people to be able to live a good life. I think everybody should be entitled to do that. Systems can change. Amen. Policies can change. And we got to make sure it happens. So but love. Happy holidays, everybody.
Nina Turner, right, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Wake that ass up.
Early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.